Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, June the 19th. What an absolutely beautiful day here in the Dallas, Texas area. Just summer. That's all I can say. It's summer. We're in the middle. You know, we're not in the middle. We're just starting summer, I guess, officially. It doesn't start until, what is it, the 20th or the 21st? So this weekend, we will officially be starting summer. But it's acting like that here. It's certainly acting like this around here. We got full summer. Full summer starting a little early, but that's okay. It's okay. It's going to come sooner or later. Well, today I've got a couple of thoughts about this Bolton book that appears to be consuming. I mean, it's like the cable news cannot let go of this topic. And we've seen this before, and I'll tell you what I think of it. There's going to be a rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma. President Trump is going to have a rally there. He's getting back in the rally business, which I like. But am I the only one who senses a little bit of hypocrisy here? Do you remember when the Democrat governors were all bent out of shape over people going to a lake house? Or when the mayor of Chicago sent a police patrol to shut down a church because a few people wanted to have a service there in Chicago. And then, of course, a week later, they were burning the city and nobody said anything about the health issue dealing with that. So I have to tell you that there's a lot of hypocrisy here. Everybody knows it. So just go ahead with the rally. Just be careful, obviously, but just go ahead with the rally. I want to begin with a couple of issues that are in the news, sort of pending issues, if you will. The first one is President Trump and DACA. As you know, yesterday the Supreme Court issued a none opinion because the opinion had nothing to do with DACA. The court was not saying anything about DACA. It was simply talking about the administrative way that it was terminated. Sort of like going to a bank and filling out an application, and then the banker says, well, no, I'm not telling you you're not going to get your loan. I'm simply saying you didn't do the form correctly. That's kind of what this is. Something like that, I guess. Well, President Trump said, okay, we'll complete new forms. We'll ask him what forms he needs, and we'll put him in, and let's see what happens. I thought, again, as I said before in various times, I think this Supreme Court decision was just utterly silly. I mean, the Supreme Court is in the business of telling us if something is constitutional or not constitutional. When issues get to the Supreme Court, we're expecting decisions based on the constitutionality of the issue, not on whether or not this form was submitted incorrectly or that was done. I mean, those are not the issues that the court should be checking out. So hopefully, these forms satisfy Justice Roberts, and he can then issue his opinion, and then DACA can come to an end, and then DACA can go to the Congress where DACA belongs. DACA should be in the Congress. That's where DACA belongs. And let the Democrats propose a DACA solution. Let's debate this. Let's get into a debate, and let's have a debate about DACA in Congress. That's where it needs to happen. The other story, too, and this is we've talked about this a couple of times this week, but it has to do with monuments. Now, the latest case is that apparently some people actually wanted to bring down the Washington Monument. I think in the city of Portland, there was actually a mob of people who decided to go after the Washington Monument. What an unbelievable disgrace that is. Look, if you're an American and you don't understand who George Washington is and the role that he played in not just the formation of the country, the Revolutionary War, but then the actual putting together of the country, and then the role that he played as president of the country, literally creating the presidency, giving the presidency the image that it has today, and then walking away from power after two presidential terms. If you don't understand that and you think that you want to bring down George Washington's statue because somebody told you in college that he had slaves at Mount Vernon. Well, if that's all you think of George Washington, I think you need to get the heck out of the country. I really do. I think you need to say, you know what, this is really not for me. This country is not for me. And go somewhere else and try to be a citizen of another country. Because if you do not understand who George Washington is and what he meant to the United States, but not just the United States, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that allows someone to march the way these people are marching, if you don't understand that, then frankly, you need to go to another country. I mean, you know, well, let us know and we'll be happy to help you buy the ticket and you can get the heck out. Because this is insane what we're watching, these attacks on monuments like this. I mean, it's just utterly, utterly insane. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Bolton book. It has everybody consumed. I've never seen it. Well, I shouldn't say I've never seen it, because every time one of these books come out, the media just goes nuts with the book. And it has about a two-week life, okay? And just remember this. This is the 19th of June. All of this will be gone by July 4th, okay? All of this will be gone. Because what happens is somebody writes a book. In the promotion of the book, they take out these lines, these controversial lines. They don't give them to you in total context. So you just get to hear the line, but you don't get to hear the whole context. So, for example, in the book, John Bolton says that President Trump wanted to invade Venezuela. It doesn't make any sense. That doesn't sound like President Trump. Now, it's possible that President Trump and some of his advisors were considering invading Venezuela. It's possible. That was one of the options, but we didn't do it, and we didn't do it in large part because Donald Trump has never been one for these kinds of foreign invasions. On the other hand, John Bolton has. I mean, John Bolton has been one of these people who's always been looking to use American power here and American power there. So this is, to me, another example, but here's my advice about the book. Don't buy the book. Literally, don't buy the book. Wait about 2 weeks, and then maybe around the 4th of July or shortly after, you will see that this book, once people get it and they read it and they realize there's nothing in this book that they haven't seen before, then you'll start seeing a bunch of people putting their used copy on Amazon, and instead of paying $25 for the original, you could probably get a pretty good copy at Amazon for a lot less than that, so you can then buy the book and read it as a used book. Because that's honestly the best you can do with it. This is a book written by John Bolton to make money. That's all that this is about. Now, I don't care if people make money. I guess that's their. I mean, that's okay if they want to make money. I don't believe that a former national security advisor should be writing books about the president that he served while that president is in office. In other words, these books should be written after a period of time after the president is no longer in office. But they shouldn't be written while the president is in office, because I just don't think that's the right thing to do. That is not what we should do. Of course, the reason they do it this way is because they know that there's going to be a crazy media out there that will jump on the book and just go bananas with the book. And then, of course, a bunch of people out there who hate Trump, who are going to show their hatred of Trump by spending $25 in a book that they themselves will realize in a short time has very little value. So, okay, you can go ahead and buy the book if you want to, but my suggestion is wait a couple of weeks and you'll be able to get yourself a cheaper used copy of the book if you really want to buy the book. We're going to take a little break and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. You know, they're going to be doing this Trump rally up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And, you know, I guess, you know, people need to be careful. I get that. Wash their hands, put a mask on. But, you know, we have to move on. You know, we have to move on and start living our lives. And if you want to go to the rally, that's your decision. It's a free country. I understand that the Trump campaign is going to have some, you know, supplies there to wash your hands and put a mask on and all that kind of stuff. That's fine. You know, that's okay. That's okay. But, you know, I don't want to hear sermons. I don't want to hear lectures from people in the media or people in the Democrat Party who didn't say anything when we had these protests. Thousands of people in the streets, and nobody ever said anything about the fact that these thousands of people in the streets could end up, you know, hurting each other or passing the virus to one to another, but not just that, taking it home to one of their relatives or their parents or their grandparents. So apparently protesting was okay. A rally for Trump is not. I don't think I have to tell you anything more than that. I mean, that's pretty incredibly hypocritical, to say the least. Well, I think that Vice President Biden is going to be making a choice here for vice president. It certainly looks that way. Beginning to think that it's going to be Kamala Harris, and he's getting the advice that it has to be a woman of color. I'm not exactly sure what she brings to the ticket, but I guess she is a woman of color. So if that's all we're looking for, then that's probably who it's going to be. There's also a possibility of Val Demings, the representative from Florida, but there are already some Black Lives Matter groups saying that she's a policeman, and therefore that's a disqualifier these days in the Democrat Party. I think it's going to be Kamala Harris. That's what I'm beginning to think, and we'll see probably. I don't think he's going to be making the decision anytime soon, but I think it's going to be Kamala Harris. So we'll see what happens with that. Rasmussen Reports has a really interesting survey or poll that they released today, and it's about the news media. And frankly, these numbers are not good for the news media. And I like Rasmussen Reports. They've been very reliable over the years. And they also use likely voters, which is really the best way to measure public opinion. And here's a couple of findings that I think are fascinating. 53% of likely voters do not trust the media. That's slightly over half of the country. 48% of likely voters think that the media is trying to hurt President Trump. And a few years ago, 48% thought that the media was helping President Obama. So obviously the media has a few problems out there. They have a lot of problems, but they have one called credibility, which is probably the biggest problem of all, because if you're a news organization, credibility is all you have. I mean, you can have the great studios, the great microphones, the great-looking people, but frankly, if you don't have credibility, it's just not going to work, because credibility is the name of the game. Going back on U.S. history today, Lou Gehrig, the great player from the Yankees back in the 1930s, he was born on this day in 1903. He was born in New York. Of course, he had to leave the game because of the disease that we now refer to as Lou Gehrig's disease. And he left when he was 37. He passed away in 1941 at the age of 39. So the great Lou Gehrig, who didn't miss a game for practically his entire career, 2,130 consecutive games, literally his career. He didn't miss a game. He was born on this day in 1903. Lou Gehrig, they used to call him the Iron Horse because he would play every minute and every game and every inning of over 15 years. Amazing, amazing career. Curt Flood. On this day in 1972, the Supreme Court said no, Curt Flood cannot be a free agent and negotiate with any major league team. So that's the way it went. Flood was basically thrown out of the game. And then a few years later, of course, the players went to the Supreme Court. And the same Supreme Court then said that, yes, the players have the right to free agency. So Curt Flood was the first one to try it. He lost, but he set the table, frankly, for the money and the great achievements of the players since then. So we remember the late Curt Flood. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.